Okay, let's talk to Jesus. Lord, you've heard these testimonies. Bring glory and honor to you. You love us so much. You watch over us every day. Even times when we think you're far away. Even times when we think, well, are you listening? Are you seeing everything that's going on? And we know that you are. And we thank you for your presence. Even when we don't see it. Thank you for your loving kindness every morning and your faithfulness every night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can get in your Bibles there to Luke chapter 1, if you would. Sit back and relax. We're just going to read these scriptures like we're sitting in your living room. Read them, look at them, comment about them. I suppose I'm going to probably teach a little bit more today than actually preach. I love to teach. I love to take each scripture and look at it and see what it's saying to me. When I read the Bible, I love the times when the Bible is read back to me. You know what I mean? When it talks to me. Talks about things in my life going on that only God knows. Only He knows. And He's always right there at the perfect time to talk to me. Well, let's pick up where we left off. Verse 36, chapter 1. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Let's just stop there for a little bit. Elizabeth conceived in her old age. Do you realize the reproach Elizabeth suffered through life? There must be something wrong with you. Maybe you ought to go to a doctor and get checked. Why don't you have children? Why don't you and your husband have a child? She carried this reproach with her all her life. And now, in her old age, she's conceived. With man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are what? Possible. With her who was called barren. Have you reached a barren place in your life? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place in your life where you felt barren? Deserted, abandoned? Has heaven ever seemed like brass to you when you prayed? Did you wonder if God was hearing your prayers or were they just bouncing off the ceiling or the sky? You ever been there? Wonder if God heard you? Had you prayed that prayer how many times and still no answer? How many of you are still waiting for an answer that you've asked God for something? Put it up. I have. I have. And I get so impatient. So I've come to the point where I said, Lord, I'll give you my lifetime till I see that prayer answer. It'll be okay. My lifetime. Because I know God's timing is different than mine. But do I still want to see an answer to that prayer? Yes, I do. And I'd like to see it on this side of glory. Who was called barren? Oh, look at the next verse. For with God nothing shall be impossible. You think about that with that prayer that you're still waiting for. Verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. That was her way of saying, Lord, here am I. Here am I, Lord. Are you looking for somebody? Here I am. That was her way of saying, here I am. I'm available. Maybe you wasn't educated like your brothers or sisters had a chance to be. Maybe your brother or sister went to college and you didn't have a chance to. Maybe you came from a big family and by the time it got around to you, the money was all. And you didn't have a chance to go. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Here am I. Send me. I don't have much to offer, Lord, but I'm available. Here am I. That was her way of saying, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And I like what comes next. Be it unto me according to thy word. Are you okay with that? Think about that. Are you all okay with that? Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. You all right with that? Don't know if you want to answer. Don't want to commit to that. But you see, he wants us to be willing to do that too. Are you willing to commit to him today? Whatever it takes. For however long it takes, are you willing to do that? That was her way of saying, here I am. And Lord, whatever you say, I'll do. Whatever you say, Lord, I'll do it. Whew. Throw that stick down, Moses, and it became a serpent. I wouldn't have no trouble throwing the stick down. The problem I'd have is be picking it back up. How about you? Hello? If he said throw the stick down, that baby turned into a snake. I said, hey, that's pretty neat. That's great. Now pick it up. Pick it up? Is that what you said? Why don't we just let it crawl a little bit? You might want to get somebody else to do that. Where's Aaron at? He can pick it up. I'll throw it down and he can pick it up. Okay. You got the story. Verse 39, Mary arose. Well, the angel departed from her. In 39, Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah. She was in a hurry. In verse 40, she entered the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth, who was 6 months pregnant. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, boy, there I could preach just that message right there on abortion. That baby's only been in the womb for 6 months. And was filled with the Holy Ghost. 6 months. The baby leaped in the womb. You know who the baby was? John the Baptist. I love those words too. Joyce, it came to pass. I like those words. It came to pass. You can count on it. In God's word, it came to pass. Verse 41, that when Elizabeth heard it, the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice, and she said, "Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She's already speaking about Mary's baby. And she called Mary's baby, "My what? My Lord. My Lord. My Lord and my God." Whew. "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And this is Mary's song, used throughout the churches for hundreds of years. The Magnificat, referred to as the Magnificat. Dutchman has a problem pronouncing that. Magnificat. Mary said, and this is her song, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." That tells us her background. She was poor. Could have even been an orphan. She was poor. But you know what? She was available. It don't matter how much money you have. Maybe you don't have nothing. Are you available? Are you available? "Here I am, Lord." She was available. And as a result, he hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden. "Behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty." Why was that? Because the rich don't think they need anything. They think they have everything. They have all the money they need. But if you don't have Jesus, you don't have nothing. Nothing. Sad for you if you have everything in this life and have not Jesus. You've not received the greatest gift could ever be given. The rich he has sent empty away. The rich young ruler that came to Jesus that day said, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" He said, Lord said, "Go and sell everything you have. Give your money to the poor." The rich young ruler went away sad that day because he had so much. He didn't want to get rid of any of it. He didn't want to give any of it up. So that day he went away empty. You know, that would make a good message to preach. That day, the rich young ruler kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. He was that close. He was that close. "He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." Verse 55, "as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months. 3 months. Elizabeth was what? 6 months. Seven? Eight? 9. Hey, she hung around to see John born. Did you catch that? She stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. Mary hung around. She wanted to see the baby born, and she got to see John the Baptist born. She abode with her 3 months, and then she returned to her own house. Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. I had to put that in. Didn't that sound like Snyder County or Buckwheat County or whatever county you're from? Don't that sound like it? The neighbors know everything. It wasn't much different in those days. They knew everything. They knew what was going on. They knew everything. Yep. The neighbors and the cousins heard how the Lord showed great mercy, and they all rejoiced with her together. Get the coffee and donuts going. No coffee, but I can tell you there's lots of donuts over there. All right. Here we go. Mary didn't have any idea how to mother a king. There was no how you do it books. Yet she was going to be a mother to a king. I love that song, Elroy, like you said, you heard as you were driving one night on one of your routes, all by yourself in that truck cab, quiet and alone. And I can just picture it. All of a sudden, coming across the radio waves was the song, Mary. Did you know? The babe that you kissed the very face of God. Oh. The creator of all living things. What a powerful, powerful, powerful song. She didn't have any examples to follow. But I can tell you what she did have. She had an enormous amount of gratitude that the Lord found favor in her to have been found for such a purpose as this. She'd do anything for her Lord. And as believers, I'd like to go to the book of Romans. We are also called for a purpose. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. We have all here today been called to a specific purpose. And it's that purpose that we should find gratitude. Grateful. Are you grateful that you've been called to his purpose? You should be. We should all be very grateful. Like Mary was so grateful that she was chosen. And then we can find in Matthew chapter 5, referring to us as believers, that we are the what of the world? Thank you, I heard it. We are the light of the world. In chapter 5 and verse 14 of Matthew, we are the light of the world. We're to let that light shine so others may see it, feel it, and be drawn to it. We should be grateful that we've been called to such a purpose, to let our light shine no matter what the circumstances may be. We need to let our light shine. You know, there's been times that I can think back over my life that I didn't think I was so happy and so brilliant. And I'm not talking about genius brilliance. I'm telling you, I can remember back times when it was just a hard time for me. My first year of Bible college, went to San Antonio, Texas. And I was missing my girlfriend very much. And in those days, I didn't think I was very brilliant. I didn't think my light was shining very, very brightly because I was so discouraged. I just met her and I loved her dearly and I left her behind to go to Bible college and didn't think my light was shining. But I can tell you this, your light shines all the time, more than you'll ever know. And even in those days, I was working at a grocery store called Handy Andy, and a big, big, tall police officer would sit inside the door as security. They would hire the police force down there instead of security. In those days, and a state police officer stood in or sat inside the door. And he noticed me going through the door every day to go to work. And one day he said to me, he said, I want to talk to you tonight. Me? Yes. I wonder if the inspection of my car is okay. Is my license? I guess my license is up to date. All that stuff should be all right. You know, that's how humans think. The worst. Never think the good stuff. We always have to think of the negative stuff. I want to see you. Boy, he was a big fella. When he said he wanted to see you, you better hang around. Because he'd take two big steps to my six. So that evening when the store was closed, he came out to my car. He got in that front seat. I put that seat all the way back. I couldn't even touch the pedals. You okay? Yeah, I'm all right. What's the matter with my car? He ain't nothing matter with your car. I said, well, why you want to talk to me? He said, I want to know what makes you tick. My heart. So I told him, no. He said, there's something different about you. I don't see it in other people. He said, Jeremy goes to some Bible school down here in Texas, but he don't look like you and he don't act like you. I want to know what you're on. I ain't on nothing. I just love Jesus. You do what? I said, I love Jesus. And that make you that happy? I said, yeah. I said, you should try it. He didn't know what to say. I could have pushed it a little further that day, and I wished I would have. But my light was shining, even when I didn't think it was. So don't ever forget that. Wherever you go, let your light shine. Because people need it. They need to see it. They need to experience it in their own lives. They have problems that they have to deal with, and trouble and heartaches. And they need it. People need it. Let your light shine. And even in times in your life when you think it's not shining, let it shine. Let it shine. I never forgot that to this day. I said, Lord, I hope he got saved. It was early in my life. I could have pushed a little more if I would have just been a little more active, a little more responsive. I think about it a lot. I hope he got to meet Jesus. I hope he met him. I pray that he did.